Welcome, everyone. I call the September 19th, 2017 regular board meeting of the Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
All right, 7 o'clock. Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Mr. Gaines?
Yes.
Mr. Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes.
All right.
Okay. Next item is the consent agenda. Items A through C are routine. Does any commissioner want to have an item pulled from the consent agenda? No? Okay. If not, I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
So moved.
Please do the roll call.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Mr. Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes. Okay. Well, we have some visitors today under matters from the public. It's our practice not to address questions at this time, but we do look forward to your input. We will take all your recommendations under advisement, and I think we have some people who want to say something. So please come up.
Tilda, if you didn't, you don't have to stand behind the podium.
You can just take that off.
Can you get off?
Okay.
Why don't you come on this side so we can see you? There you go. You had such a cute dress on. You know.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Ready,
Mia. Hi, I'm Mia Bingham. I'm 8 years old and I go to West School.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you about a tennis backboard.
Oh, okay.
I've had an idea for Phil Thomas Park, Old Green Bay Road, to have a tennis backboard.
To hang on the inside of the fence.
Okay. Build community, meet other children, plan to meet friends there. Independence, could walk or ride bike. If kids old enough to go alone, older kids could go over while younger siblings are at the park. Exercise. Motivates kids out of the house. Develops eye-hand coordination. Cost saving. Helps other families to not pay for lessons.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, she felt that it was important that she had an opportunity to play and be independent. And I used to talk about it a lot because I grew up with one. And, you don't see a lot of people at the tennis court, certainly not kids. And I think that the thing that I think a community like this, it's a wonderful small community and it's a safe little community, and I think it's a great way to pull kids together and allow them to find a meeting place and do something that's more than video games, riding your bikes, getting together. And I think there's a lot of tennis players out there, and there could be more, I think, if they had an opportunity to build those skills on their own.
Good job, Mia. Very nice. Do you want to give that to me?
Yeah.
Can I have that so I can show my parks guy exactly what you want?
Yeah. Oh, thank you very
perfect.
Much.
Thank you for the idea.
Thank you very much.
Chris, found his laptop. I got it up already? Oh, look at that. Thank you. We appreciate your idea. We'll definitely take it under consideration.
Thank you
for coming.
Okay.
You don't want to stay for the whole meeting? It's riveting.
Okay, that was great. Okay, so the next item is financial report.
Yes, I have included the financial report as of August, which marks our 6 months into the fiscal year.
I know a couple of items came up last time when I wasn't able to be here, so I want to just point out, too, the recreation revenues were down last month, but it was totally due to a timing thing with when our fall registration was in 2016 compared to 2017. You'll note that we are back up and over what we were last year. So I think that was the bulk of the issues. Obviously, we're continuing to look at replacing some of the kindergarten programs that were so successful to make up some of the revenues. But right now, we look in pretty good shape compared to where we were last year at the same time. I believe another item that came up was related to the transfers in Fund 69. If you look down in Recreation Administration, you get some pretty significant, compared to last year, a significant deficit in the administrative accounts. And that's really due to the fact that last year we only transferred $250,000 out from REC to Fund 69. This year we transferred $1.1 million. So that's really what that red expense line item in 2017 is primarily made up of, is the transfer to Fund 69. Beach, we're pretty, you know, close to what we were last year at this time. We might have lost a little bit, but still, I think, amazing compared to what we were 2 years ago. So I think that number is going to be definitely something that we're going to be able to maintain. You know, the weather, it was good, but, you know, the weather was good. Yeah, I mean, we had our moments, and we still maintained. So I think that was a very positive sign as I look at the previous years. So is there any specific questions?
Do you guys have any questions?
I just have a question on, like, loss department and parks department. What kind of revenues are those? I mean, I know that's not a big number, but
no.
Where does that come from?
Parks, I think, might be bench donations. Maybe $750. There might be some minimal recycling money that the Parks Department takes. There's really no revenues.
Could be a transfer from the school for trees and stuff like that.
That's not in there yet, though. It might be by the end of the fiscal year, but... And then
last, though, was $8,600. So I just wonder where that money...
They're all donations, quite honestly. So we might have had more tree donations 2 years ago. There could be insurance reimbursement money, so if we had an insurance claim through Panama, it's a miscellaneous income, and it would come into the Parks Department if it was park damage, vehicle damage sustained in some type of claim. It's very minor and miscellaneous, so...
I can talk just briefly on the Watts. And so one of our goals this year was to start collecting revenue in March and booking ice in March and April. So the way our system recognizes the revenue, when in RecTrack we book it, some of it's recognized when they pay. So some people have paid ahead of time, some people haven't. So you'll see we're doing a lot more parties at booking ice sooner. So you will see some revenue coming in sooner than the season starts. And that's because we booked ice, people have paid ahead of time. We just had Central's 35-year reunion there on Friday night, so we're trying to book more rentals off-season. So you may see ebbs and flows as those parties come through.
The bulk of the Watts revenue will be with the season passes and with the renters, typically in the winter months that they're open.
Terrific. Any other
good
questions? Comments? No? Okay. Director Collins is going to introduce some staff and do a report on the youth camps.
Before we get started in, because I want to make sure I say this before this whole team leaves. Liz isn't here tonight. Okay. But we had the mud run this weekend, and this whole team and that team and Anthony and Bill did a phenomenal job on that special event. So I just wanted to make sure before, they'll probably sneak out after the reports, that to thank them. It was a really united team effort. Everybody had to come together to make sure to pull off that event. So I just wanted to say that while they're still here.
And this was their inaugural effort.
Correct.
Yes, and I'm hearing wonderful feedback.
Yeah. Liz isn't here today, but you know, we'll make sure to pass it on. I just wanted to make sure that other people that are there are helping and make sure that's successful.
I would add Erin to that as well. She was key.
Yeah, oh. It wasn't done, but yes, I'd like to. They always look for it, and I can say anything. It really wasn't done yet. But she's a team. Well, she's actually in everybody's team. But Erin, I have to say that she, the marketing she did on that. We saw direct correlation from registration and the weather helped, but jumping up like 25, 50, 75 the week in leading up to it. And not to mention that, she even get her cousin to wear a GoPro throughout the whole thing. She jumped on the ATV to video it and take pictures, but I think it was her marketing effort paid for boosts and things like that that really got people out and got people excited. And then the follow-up after the event, posting pictures and the kind of buzz that we had on social media, it's a direct reflection of how Erin did that. So she was, you know, considered a part of everybody's team, but she did a phenomenal job on that. So. So it was really a great team effort. So.
Terrific.
We had a lot of fun.
So.
Very impressive, especially impressive about the way your team worked together.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody just had such a good attitude. And the one problem I see is that it was so successful, so popular, that there's a kind of buzz that maybe you ought to do something like that in the winter. Lisa. You know, there's nothing going on. Okay.
I'm like, well, it's below zero. We do it. How can we do that?
Some
a snowshoe race or something. Yeah, that whole thing.
There you go.
You
anyway,
think about that.
That's the downside to something being that good. Is that
yeah.
You don't want to repeat it. So.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Okay.
I'd like to echo those comments and say the. One constructive comment I heard from several of the kids who completed the course is next year they want more mud.
We did hear that.
Okay.
So, all right, well, I'm going to turn it over to Bobby and his team. So.
Great. Well, sitting over to talk about our summer camps from that 2017. First, we're going to just introduce, talk about our marketing strategy. We're going to have Stephanie talk about our staff training. Naomi's going to talk about Bears Town, Kinder Corner, and Safety Town, which he's responsible for. Stephanie's going to talk about Sun Fun and Mountain Venture. And then Chris is going to talk about the older programs we have for Counselor Training and Action Quest. Then I'm going to discuss some survey results, some participation, and some financial trends that we've noticed through our town report. So just on our marketing, Erin, as we all know, does a phenomenal job of this. It's a multi-channel approach. Most of our participants find out their information from the brochure or from a website, but more and more we're using digital, so we're using Facebook, Instagram, we've got flyers in Watts, we've got flyers at the beach, we've got posters in the lobby here. So we're really trying to target everyone at different places they might use our facilities or in our programs, and then making sure we knock out of the park with our brochure, which is phenomenal, we get a lot of positive feedback, and then a very detailed website where people can contact the program managers or find out the information they may need. We do a lot of email blasts, some direct marketing. We do some paid marketing in some of the local publications when we're short for magazines and PTO magazines. Overall, we do a really great job making sure we reach everybody in the community. So Stephanie's first going to talk about our camp training and what was involved this year.
So we really wanted to make it a priority this year to make our training a little bit more hands-on. Based on some staff feedback that we've had in the past, it's been a lot of sitting and lecturing type. And we wanted to make it more hands-on. We feel like they would take a lot more from orientation in a hands-on manner. So we kicked off with a park pursuit type training, a great race. So we were all over Glencoe looking at all of our different parks and our facilities, and the great thing about that training is they didn't necessarily work with the people that they were going to work with during the summer. We also felt it was really important for us to get to know our team as a whole. Just because you're a Sun Fun counselor doesn't mean you only need to know your Sun Fun staff. You need to know the beach staff and the bear staff and the action cross. So we really wanted to focus on making it a team effort orientation versus just camp specific. We did do some camp-specific trainings. Chris, Naomi, and myself ran some site-specific trainings, things like that. But in our group trainings, we really wanted to focus on hands-on, interactive, and really calling on our returning staff to give feedback and expertise and kind of what they've experienced in the past. We had a leadership training that was run by Mike, that our directors and head counselors came. They learned about NSSRA, they learned about how to fill out forms appropriately. We delved into a little bit more detail of park district policy and procedure. can relay that to their staff, how to fill out forms, things like that. And then also new this year, we had all of our camp staff go through first aid and CPR training. So that was great that we had a lot of our staff first aid and CPR training. So all in all, our camp training, we did almost 20 hours of preseason training. And then throughout the summer, we had refreshers and we had meetings here and there to kind of refresh them on policies and procedures that we touched on at the beginning of the summer so it didn't get stale. It was something that was fresh in the brain.
Great. Next, we have Naomi. Talk about her camps.
So, I oversee the Bears Camp, Kinder Corner, and Newtown. So, our Bears Camp are for our little ones. They're 2-year-olds, sometimes not even 2 yet, all the way up to right before they're going into 4-year-old preschool. So, the Bears Camp, I'm very lucky. A lot of my preschool teachers teach during the summer. So, I've got a really strong staff that I am able to bring in from the school year into the summer, who can also guide some of our younger counselors, or counselors who only work during the summer. New this year, we had more extended day options, so families who needed that longer day extended care were able to extend the camp day, and then they could have a longer day. Because now that the school district is at full day kindergarten, we really want to get them used to being in a program longer. And then this year, we added more field trips. We added different field trips. We added more spray and play, which is in Buffalo Grove. The kids really like that. It's a safe water park type environment. It's just a spray playground. But to the kids, it's like they're going to a water park. In the future, I really want to focus more on offering more of that before and after care, kind of to mirror what Sunfun offers, the kids' tennis club options, so that families who are working, we're noticing more families that are working, have that ability to drop off their child early, let their kid go to camp, and then pick them up a little bit later. Kinder Corner is my camp for children going into the kindergarten grade for the fall. So new this year, we added a big field trip. It was awesome. We went to the Brookfield Zoo. So it's enclosed, so they felt safe. They were able to walk around, see animals, and get that zoo feeling kind of the older camps go to Lincoln Park. So going to the Brookfield, it was a safe environment, but also lots of fun. And then we added more spray park visits for those kids as well. Future planning, continue to offer that extended before and after care option. I also would like to offer for the kindergarten age, like a summer's beginning, we offer the summer's beginning for our Sun Fund, but offer for preschool. So before camp and after camp, before those big programs start, they have the opportunity to attend like the free summer camp so that can fill up their summer. Safety Town continues to be super popular. I have to offer 2 sessions again this year, so hopefully that trend will continue. And I'm also looking to possibly have a longer day. It's only 2 hours right now, but there's so much information we can share with them, just making it a longer day to make them feel, you know, safe in their community.
Great. Stephanie's going to talk about our
concerns. So I oversee Sun Fun, Camp Adventure, and Summer's Beginning and Summer's End. So Sun Fun is campers that are entering 1st through 3rd grade. So this year we had 2 new directors. One was a counselor for us a couple of years ago. She missed Glenwood and wanted to come back. And another was brand new to the Park District. Both of them were teachers, so they brought their teacher aspect into the program, and they were very successful in creating structure and organization for the Sun Fun campers, because that's definitely something that they need throughout the day. New this year, we had new field trips. We had age-specific field trips, which is definitely something we received parent feedback from. So 1st graders went somewhere, 2nd graders went somewhere, and 3rd graders went somewhere. So they're all really age-appropriate for the age that we are working with. And we also had special guests visit us on-site. Sometimes it's really hard for us here to compete with the Wheeling Water Parks or the Cub Game, things like that. We don't have that here. So it's nice to bring every month in a while something in to spice up their time while they're here. So we had Mobile Room Escape come, and they each had time to run through, rotate through, and work on that team building. And we also had Hot Ground Gym come. So they were out on the field and able to work on team building through that way as well. For the future for Sun Fun, we would love to work on ACA accreditation. It's American Camping Association accreditation. We started looking into that this summer, and we're slowly working on trying to include more in our policy. So we're hoping that one day we can become an ACA accredited camp. Adding new field trips as always, and create new special event days to spice things up a little bit, and continue to focus on parent communication. Water park safety and our daily communication to keep them in the loop. Camp Adventure is our fourth and fifth graders. We have really experienced leadership staff. My head counselor got promoted to art director, and one of our counselors got promoted to head counselor. So they've been here for a while. They really know the Camp Adventure campers. So they had an edge, I feel, in creating activities because they knew what their kids liked and what their kids didn't like. So they were really able to gauge how they planned their activities accordingly. So new this year, we offered Camp Adventure Clubs. We took away the camper's choice option. That was something that we offered for some fun. And Clubs was just an opportunity for the Camp Adventure campers to be in charge of their camp experience. So while they were on site, they got to choose what they did during the day while they were here. So if there was a camper that was more sporty, they spent all day doing sports. If there was a camper that was a little bit more arty, they spent all day doing a compress credit, and it was their choice. And after 2 weeks, they got to change. So I think they kind of liked that they were in control of their camp experience. We also used our special event activities and did things at a whole camp with Sun Fun and Camp Adventure, but we also broke out and did Camp Adventure specific things. We were able to take activities and kind of pump it up to the next level because they're a little bit older and they're able to handle a little bit more than our Sun Fun kiddos can. And then we have special guest visitors as well. Hot Ground Gym was able to kind of amp up their obstacle course for the Camp Adventure campers, as well as mobile room escape. They were kind of able to tweak the room escape so the Camp Adventure campers could participate at their own level as well. Just very similar with Sun Fun, I would like to incorporate ACA accreditation into our Camp Adventure policies and procedures and things like that, offer new field trips. This year, the fourth grade class was a lot bigger than in years past, so our Camp Adventure enrollment increased, which is what we want to do because that camp was in decline for a while. So we're hoping that based on the incoming fourth grade class this summer, we're hoping that we can keep that enrollment up and also by adding new programs and activities and things like that and create new Camp Adventure specific special events. I also oversee Summer's Beginning and Summer's End. Summer's Beginning runs the week before camp starts, so it kind of bridges the gap between school ending and camp starting. It's staffed by experienced returning staff, and this camp also increases to grow in popularity. I actually have to sometimes turn people away because we want to make sure that we're following appropriate staffing ratios and keep everything safe. So I'm hoping to get more staff to be able to accommodate those kiddos. New this year, we had new field trips. We included lunch every day, so it was pretty mindless for parents. They send them and we take care of everything, which I think is fantastic. We also provided busing to and from summer school. So summer school started that week of summer's beginning. So new this year, we offered a PM option. So the kids went to summer school, and at noon, we were there at Central to pick them up, and they joined the activities in Denver, Mississippi. For the future, we would love to offer different field trips, incorporate special event days, kind of like we do during the regular camp season, bring in special events or special guests or things like that, and continue, again, to focus on parent communication. And Summer's End is very identical to Summer's Beginning. It's run by experienced staff, run the week after camp, is over to kind of give kids that really don't want camp to end an opportunity to have just one more week. We offer new field trips and we included lunch every day with Summer's End as well. And I would also love to offer different field trips, incorporate special events in that program as well, bring in special guests, and focus on parent communication as well.
Chris is up next, Action Quest, and then our CIT counselor training program.
So for Action Quest, we had an incredibly successful summer. We lost our director, but we were able to promote from within both our head counselor to director, and one of our counselors who had been here for 3 years, she became our head counselor. So it was really a seamless transition. They knew what to do. They were out in front of any potential issues, asked for all their equipment early, so that went exceedingly well. For the field trips, we got to go, luckily, Cubs Cardinals was one of the two games that had a set time when we wanted to book our field trip, so both Stephanie and I got to go to that game with our camps. Didn't turn out that well, but right after entering the field was really not a bad day. And it did 8 by They also always love Rainbow Falls. It's one of the best water parks around here, so we always go there once each of the 4 week sessions, just to ensure that the kids don't miss out on that. We had 5 new field trips this year. One of the biggest, not criticisms, but one of the least favorite days was the days at Watts, which we used to do every week on Thursday. We'd have a themed activity, we do a book out, and I think that our staff do a good job with that, but 8 of those for the older kids is a little bit rough. You know, they like to get off site and do things. So we try to be a little bit budget conscious and plan some good field trips. So we had a White Sox game, Bartlett Water Park twice, Park Park at the River Trails Park District twice, Hot Ground Gym, and ice skating fun this year. So we just kind of replaced a couple of the less popular field trips as well as some of the Watts days. And one of the things that kind of spurred the different field trips is last year, at the end of the year, we did an ice cream day along with a survey on what the kids liked, what they didn't like, what they could see change. So we got a lot of feedback on the field trips this year as far as what they kind of weren't super wild about, which was Flick Pool and Bundy, which is not the most exciting pool. So that was the one takeaway. I didn't get any realistic suggestions for adding, you know, Disneyland for a weekend. So not exactly realistic, but there were a couple of decent ideas in there that we'll research a little bit further and look at. Once again, this year we did get rained out for both of our campouts. So we spent one night here in Tegev and one night over in Lons. So that was unfortunate. I'm over for right now. We did move them to Friday this year, which worked out pretty well, just logistically from a staffing standpoint, as well as the campers. Most of them don't sleep a lot, if at all. That is one of my counselors barely surviving after staying up almost the entire night. She got a solid like 2 hours of sleep with me, so it was really nice to be able to kind of do breakfast Saturday morning and send the kids home and then go home and nap yourself. But it's an outstanding time. You know, it's great for the kids to get their bond. It's great for the counselors to get their bond. So that worked out pretty well. As far as future planning, it's just continue to evaluate what field trips are. We actually had 6 field trips. We did add in Mickey Mouse this year, which was suggested by quite a few people. But just keep cycling through them. Don't let the kids do the same field trips all the time. Just kind of keep things fresh. As far as CIT goes, that went exceptionally well this year. 2. Our director is John Brandon. He's been doing it for a while. He's around here. He does basketball, he does programs, all kinds of different things for us. And he's got a great relationship with Southeast directors and staff. And so he helps place the CITs, make sure that they're doing things where they learn. So we've tried through this process. Basically, one of the things that I wanted to turn into is just a farm system for our employees. We want these kids to know some policies, some procedures, get through the training that we would get our camp staff through. Probably not the full 20 hours of the course of the year, but at least to get their space down. So with John's help, we've really kind of done that. We've beefed up the weekly goals for the CITs. We want them to be leading games more and not just kind of flood of equipment and doing that kind of thing. So we're trying to get them to kind of build up to that counselor status. So we've kind of just done a weekly sheet of what we want them to learn, just kind of remind them what they did the week before. And we're just trying to build on that throughout the summer. Then one of the other things that we're looking at doing, as long as it works out time-wise, we actually came up with this idea 2 days ago, Monday, was to kind of have each of the kids sit down for like a 15 to 20 minute interview, just to kind of see what they like, what they don't like, what kind of experience they have, if they babysat, if they rough soccer or whatever, and kind of figure out where we want to place them for the year instead of just having a parent fill out the form. Because generally, the kids, for the most part, are filling this form out. It's almost always the parent's handwriting, and it would be nice for us to kind of know where we can put them to give them the best chance to succeed.
So just looking at the survey results, every year we surveyed all of our participants. Again, very positive. Shows that we made large improvements in areas such as communication, creative activities, people thinking outside the box. 90% and over of our participants would recommend our accounts to a friend, which tells us a lot. So that's very positive, and we'll take the feedback we have and try to implement that for next year. Overall, the financial participation trends are steady, increasing by 5% this year. We are noticing that individual account enrollments are correlated to grade size, and as those grade sizes change, we are having to alter our budget for those accounts based on the size of the enrollments. Overall, the financial trends are steady. We have 883 counters in all our programs this year, which is a lot of counters. Conclusion of 2017, so a lot of staff transition in a good way. A lot of our returning staff in their leadership roles, really built them up into something special. That's a great way to retain great staff. It left an opportunity for new staff to come in, and they did a great job. The new staff were excellent. We were able to implement our improvements for this year. They're well received, and we'll look to beat that and improve for next year. Look, that's for any questions.
I have a few questions, please. What are the grade size trends as far as what do we see coming through the pipe?
Great question. So just looking at the side school, for example, this year the kindergarten class is 111, the first grade is 145, and the second grade is 118. So you're seeing quite a large swing for such a small population. So it's something that we're watching and we're looking at in budget season so that we can make sure that we know what one group might be small this year, but as they move forward, we're going to have to alter our account expectations for who's going to be enrolled. Because it's all based really on friends and community. Grades are talking all accounts together. So if the grade is small and your enrollment is most likely going to be small. If it's large like that first grade being 145 this year instead, that's quite a large group. So that's
what you're going to move counselors up and down.
Correct. So you're very flexible with your staff, with your programs, and you have to build that in. So staff is looking at this when we're going to budget season.
Are you able to look before they get to kindergarten?
It's very challenging to do that. Just looking at the demographics of the Lenco, it is challenging to actually get information on that. We're 1,208 kids in the District 35 school district this year, so we're paying attention to that. It's hard to see. We obviously move a great deal of the program with our ELC, with our Children's Circle, so that gives us a great indication. We set the bar so high in those programs, they naturally flow on to our other accounts and hopefully stay with us all the way through CIT. Work as camp counselors, so hopefully we keep them from six weeks old up until 18 when we're done. That's the goal, right?
And has there been any interest with the older kids in an actual camping type experience? Where would you have camped at the outdoor overnight work?
We would camp on the beach.
Okay.
So usually, my understanding is that I'm for four.
They have a beach. It's far to do walk.
You're giving me the night off.
As far as to do, like a week long camping trip or overnight camping trip, it's very cost expensive because we have to pay overtime after 40 hours.
Security and other things like that.
Yeah.
Adolescents
and teenagers. Oh, no. They would be doing that for years and they have a safety protocol in place.
I'm a big fan of Dola. I'm not talking about our destination. I'm talking about the National Outdoor Leadership Academy and the skills that they teach kids that are often learned in camping with family or in more formal settings. Has there been any interest in any of those camping outdoor type skills?
I haven't had any express to me directly. It's something I can definitely consider.
You know, as simple as we're starting a fire without matches.
We have a lot of specialty accounts as well that will specialize in doing that and take kids on those expeditions and those trips. It's expensive. It's very, very expensive.
Why not do a chaperone?
Because that would be better.
Costs are covered.
Oh, yes.
Quick comment. If you remember to do this, the data that you just gave us about the incoming classes is going to skew what we see in years coming forward about who gets into, you know, the way the camps. And we tend to look at it like, geez, it's down 10%.
Sure.
Now you think about the way these classes differ so much and how many kids are there.
Right.
Remember to use that as an asterisk.
Absolutely.
Give us an idea what percentage of the total population of second graders are kids that age. Have been coming to our camps, and if we see that we're consistently getting 85% of those kids, we'll know that we're okay, that's trending up.
Well, that's one of the positive feedbacks we got, is one of the reasons they do our camp is because their friends are in it. That's more than 50% of the reasons why they do our camp is it's that companionship with neighbors, with their classmates. So that's one really great marketing tool that we have. So we will definitely pay attention to that.
Yeah, watch them. But it's noted. We'll put them in the reports in the future. I just have to say that our camps continue to be, I think, the best in the North Shore. I might be a little biased. But if you get those kind of marks of 90% are phenomenal for day camp, it's a tough program to do, and our staff does such a marvelous job. Training staff, picking the right staff to work for us, holding them accountable to the standards we have. So kudos to all of you for another fantastic summer. It's like we get through a summer without a major incident. It's unbelievable. It's a testament to their dedication. So they put in long, hard hours getting to this point. So thank you very much.
I just have two questions. One was the orientation before camp started was on the same night as it was for the teacher counselors. So a lot of the parents that were in here
noted too. All right. Now the early childhood report. Turn it over.
Great. Naomi and Jessica are going to then talk about the early childhood report.
All right. So we have lots to offer here at the Pratt District in terms of early childhood. We have our Early Learning Center, which is our half-day preschool that is for ages 2 to right before you go to kindergarten. We have our Children's Circle full-day preschool, so that's a little bit of a longer day. We're open from 7 to 6:30 at night, and that is, we just opened our new clinic program a year ago, and so that's 6 weeks all the way up to like before they go to kindergarten as well as 5. As well as we offer a very large amount of preschool enrichment to extend days and just have other opportunities for the children in our community to participate in. We also work very closely, Global Junior Kindergarten is in our building as well, and we work with them as a community partner to kind of have the same, follow the same play-based curriculum, and I work very closely with the director so we can be on the same page with a lot of the students since they are in the same facility as us, and we work very closely. There's also Shalom, which is across the street as well, and we have a lot of other private preschools and neighbors in the area. I'm actually part of the director's group who I meet with once a month, and we talk about things troubleshooting in the daycare and preschool world as well as different trends and these get-backs and all that stuff that comes with it. Our facility, we have a beautiful facility, we're lucky. Chris and his team are wonderful. We have to follow the CFS standards, so that comes with being safe, having a clean facility, and both daily, monthly, weekly maintenance. And his team is awesome at getting the place clean when we need it, and even like last minute things. We're working with kids, so you never know. They're great. Playground and equipment, we're always trying to keep everything up to date and get rid of. We recently just did a heard is actually broken toys, old toys, toys that are just not as popular anymore. We've replaced them. We're looking at places replacing our water media tables just so they're fresh and new, and we have new things for the children to work with. Social media. Erin is really good about keeping our marketing and social media, all of that, up to date. We have our brochure that's mailed as well as available for families to look at and online. We have a great presence on several social media sites. We have Facebook, Instagram, as well as sometimes there's a bunch of Snapchat and kids in the area of different fun activities that we do. Something new that we added on the Children's Circle side, all of our staff have beautiful pictures that Jess has set up with their background and education and what they love to do, just kind of giving an insight to the parents about the staff. And then a lot of the early learning center staff is posted online as well with bios and information about them. The thing we pride ourselves most is the word of mouth. We have a lot of tourists come in and say that they've heard about one of our programs based on a friend, a neighbor, or even just someone that they work with. So we really are excited that our program is getting out there. We also offer a ton of preschool age special events throughout the year, so that gives us a chance to meet members of the community who may not be part of our Christian community and get them kind of a little bit more knowledge of what we have to offer during those special events and during the school year. And then new this year to Children's Circle, we started Rhino, which is an app, a communication app that the families all have access to. They're able to see how their child's day is doing, whether it's a potty, diaper, food, or just see what they've done throughout the day. It's been welcomed really well, and it's something we're going to look at for bringing to other possible our early learning center as well as possibly camps and before and after care.
We're going to look at events with science over recently. So you can see early learning center had a bit of a trend downward. We're seeing more parents double working parents who need full-time care and can't do a midday prep, which is our ELP program. But because the staff is so good at specifically managing their budgets, you can see that the fiscal is still fine even though the enrollment trend is for our enrichment, similarly, it trended downward. There's a big trend right now where people are pushing for children not to be over scheduled anymore. That's what they are still coming out and everything. And besides that, we see our local community, you know, we all know like Jim Marie, but there are more and more of these small businesses opening that have special classes just for preschool age children. So in terms of future planning, we're looking at new fresh ideas to keep our children here, and same with ELC, planning some extending days. So for Children's Circle, you can see in 2015, 2016, it took a little bit downward. One was the cost of opening the infant room. Our toddler enrollment was down that year, and then we found many children leave us for the summer. They either go to camp program, they stay at home, their teacher has summer off. So we included a $300 fee for holding a spot for the summer, which has helped keep children in the program. Right now, Children's Circle can hold 63 children. We have 61 enrolled. Three out of four of the classrooms have a wait list between 2 and 7 children.
So another way we're out there in the community, we offer a lot of special events. The Take Up Express train day was new this year. I had an expectation of only getting 75, and I ended up with an enrollment of 170. So it was a fantastic event.
Awesome.
It brought the community together. We got to ride a trackless train, leave for coal, and it was kind of surrounded by our favorite train, Thomas. So that is definitely going to be an event that's going to come back next year. Every year we have Messy Morning. It's a great way for us to let families come in and get messy. And they do get messy. There's shaving cream, there's clean mud, you name it. But they get to do it here and not in their house. So it's also a way to showcase our classrooms and our teachers. So we use it as an open house. So we have got an enrollment summit. They get to see how involved our teachers are and how beautiful our facilities. So that's a yearly event that we do around the end of January. And then we work with our special events program manager, Liz, with other events that she has to really make it kid-friendly. She consults with me, and we kind of work together to make all of our events early childhood.
Awesome.
between the educational program as well as some of the fun enrichment. We have programs that are healthy and good, a great reputation in our community. The staff will continue to implement these technology trends, and it's getting very popular, as you know, apps and communication through email. So we're going to continue doing that and adding that to our program. Any questions?
How was the teacher's feedback on the right wheel? Did they feel it was an effective communication tool and a good use of their time?
Absolutely. So what we did was we introduced three apps that we were trying to choose from. We let them try that, and then we picked the app. We got their feedback. We really took what their thoughts were, because Mike and I were going to be the ones using it. It was going to be the teachers. And right wheel, they really like it. I mean, I just was a teacher at the time, and she, you know, it was easy to use, and it was really easy to communicate with. And so our text group of parents also gave us that feedback, that they felt like that communication was even better than that, you know, quickly picking up the child and dropping off.
Any educated guesses on how many Glencoe-based kids are going to other preschool type programs outside this building, non-Park District, non-GJK, at Shalom or St. Elizabeth's?
It's hard to quantify because a lot of them are private institutions, right. So they don't publish that information. We're at the point where we're moving capacity into something like children's circles, so there's a need in the community for full day care. We're definitely seeing that. As a parent, you know, I mean, it's hard to find somewhere that would be so accommodating when we are. Right? Not worrying from 7:30 in the morning to 6:30 at night is a relief for a lot of parents in this community. So, not necessarily sure if you have the demand, you'd be able to really pump those programs up right now.
One thing we are going to look at for next year is we took back a room from GJK in the new contract in the afternoon. So we're going to look at doing a preschool program in the morning in our room, and then they come in for the daycare in the afternoon. So kind of expanding our full daycare needs. So we'll have a full day option, but they'll go to ELC and then stay in the room after. So we're investigating that. It will be a possibility to offer that, and if there's demand for that.
I suppose what I was thinking of a little bit was when I was more in tune with this 25 years ago, and I was, my kids went to GJK, and yet they always attended the Park District summer programs, you know, Pat Boudreau and some of the other teachers that were almost institutions here for so long. See, there's a personality at three schools and at daycare. And I'm wondering if we have any clue as to what the personality might be at an Shalom compared to GJK or ours, and if it might be people seeking out something like that. Some preschools are for more athletic kids, some offer more nurturing for more introverted or challenged children. I'm just wondering what parents are thinking of as they're evaluating their options, and does that present us with an opportunity if we came to understand?
My oldest went to Shalom because it's a Jewish preschool, and if he wanted to do preschool, okay. He wanted to do it for go there. However, he went to Montessori because they believe in Montessori. And then between GJK and Park District, I think it's really where your friends go and where that community that you can feel in. Mm-hmm. So I have friends that are all over the world. That's just nice. Some people go to the Park School or they go to a Christian school, and so a lot of it's like,
there's very that much expansion opportunity for us to pick up on different cultural focuses.
Right.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Montessori, and it's just like that's what they want.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was wondering too, because you said there's 63 spots in the F61. So obviously the ones that have wait lists are programs that are full, and that becomes a teacher student ratio and things like that. And then briefly you mentioned doing something in the afternoon, and I was wondering if there's an opportunity with the fours, since the fours at GJK have a weird time at 11:30 to 3:30, and I know I'm going to be in this position, not sure, but what to do in the morning, and all of us are going to try and get into those enrichment prayer in the morning, but is there any sort of need, or I don't know if there'd be enough kids, but to do something with that room in the morning so that the kids who are
we don't have the room in the morning. So
we don't have it in the morning. Okay. We only have it in the afternoon.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. or we'd probably expand it, you know, without a doubt. So, well, I have to say that a year ago, you know, we had parents come and address some concerns, and we have really taken what their concerns or suggestions to heart and implement them a lot in the program, and you can tell with the satisfaction. And we keep on interacting with parents through this Bright Wheel. That was one of the apps that we have used and communicated. So they continue to talk to the parents, and Jessica's been a great addition to our preschool family down there, and she's been very well received. So our preschool program and our daycare program is second to none. So thank you very much.
Steve, did you want to say?
I was just curious. Did we see a wonderfully positive, consistent turnaround in the meal program then? Remember there was some concern?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've had no complaints. We published a picture daily. So it's been great. So it's going really well.
You post a picture every day of what we're serving kids for lunch.
Yeah.
It's helpful
to parents and good motivation. It is.
Yeah.
Well, we know Bobby lunch now. All right, thank you very much. One more question?
Quick, it's more of a comment. What
please.
I've noticed in looking at the data is one of the most important things, at least for camps, coming up is affordability. So please remember that affordability at a park district, camp, or preschool is always a key concern for families.
All right.
Thank you. Wow.
Thank you very much. You guys don't have to stay. Don't knock the chairs out when you're right out. They work a lot of weekends and nights, so go home. Thank you for staying. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay. We ready to move on to staff reports?
Yep. We'll keep them short and sweet. So business, Carol?
Yeah, we're starting the budget process. We spoke a little briefly with Josh today about the levy we're going to present to the board the October 3rd financial meeting. So nothing really further to add than that.
Everybody can make that meeting?
I'm sorry.
We sent it out October 3rd. It's the first Tuesday of the month, 7 o'clock. We'll have a finance committee of the whole and a special projects meeting.
Yeah, I got it down as a special meal presentation for the board and staff in attendance.
Special meal?
Yeah.
Are you cooking? Is that it? Because
there you go.
There you go.
Challenge.
Because we've discussed my cooking abilities.
And
not there.
We got it.
Okay. And again, the first Tuesday of the month in October and November, we'll be meeting for committee meetings. So I think those invites have gone out. So,
yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Anything additional on recreation?
Anything different?
The beach has closed up for the season. Bathrooms are still open on busy days. And the weather, we had like 300 people there on Saturday, 200 people on Sunday. It was well used. We had the mud run this weekend with 264 attendants, people doing it. We had the doggy dip at the beach on Sunday with over 50 dogs. Very well attended, very popular event in the community. We're in the middle of full programming. That started a couple weeks ago. It seems to be going pretty smoothly so far. We've got a couple events coming up. We've got team game night on October 5th with GJHB. And then we've got our frisbee golf competition October 1st. Which we're looking to really pump. As anyone's ever been over at Watts, it's a very popular sport.
Is that being subsidized at all by the glasses?
Nope.
No. But Wild Child is donating prizes.
Oh, that's awesome. Wow.
Oh,
very surprising.
Did you communicate at all with Michael Glasser's family?
Not particularly about that, but no, I might give him a call now that I know he's a big frisbee golf guy. Yeah, I'll touch base with him on it.
And try to get them involved in case there might want to be some freshening to that facility or that amenity in the next few years.
Well, we're putting new signs up and everything.
So the budget in our regular capital plan for a little bit of freshening this year. Aaron's worked on some signage, and we're expecting to have some new baskets installed this fall.
So we're just waiting for the new signs to arrive, really.
Okay.
Going back to the beach, so if you've been down there, you know the beach was, the pipe for the village was uncovered. Well, now it's covered back up, gained a little bit of sand. But the village is working on a permanent solution to that, so they were actually down there doing some surveying yesterday, or today and tomorrow. So what they're planning on doing is removing that pipe from the water's edge, which is a great news for the park district because that will no longer be a problem and no longer stop us from being able to smooth out the sand. They're going to take the pipe and move it closer to the beach house and bury it up there. So if it ever gets uncovered again, we'll have a bigger problem than just the pipe exposed. So by moving that pipe back, burying it deep, we might have to relocate some of our boat storage on the one side where we have the kayaks and stuff. So we may be building new boat storage, which actually some of them need to be redone anyway and resized. So that's a real positive. It's a win-win for both of us. So what you may see next year is that we may ask Crest to start looking for a piece of machinery that we can leave on the boating side. Because as you know, once we do the initial spring, sprucing up of that side, we have to build up that ramp and bring a piece of machinery over, spread out sand, and then it goes back over it, and we can never bring it back again. So what we want to do is buy a used piece of equipment that we can leave on that side. So should we have some erosion issues next year, that we'll be able to do the same thing we do on the other side, which is spread out the sand, take that cliff down, so we don't have the problems we had this year. So we're something we could drive. Actually, we may even look for something, and we're still investigating. So we'll report back later. But maybe it's something that we can even pull the safety boat into the water with. So we're going to be looking at those objects. But it'll help us by that pipe being gone, because we were limited in the past what we could do because of that pipe. Even when it was buried, we had to be careful what we drive over there. So that's this kind of problem was a win-win for us on that side. So they will be starting that work after our boating beach is closed. We were very clear on that. We're like, don't even start that till we're done. So they're looking at about November, right? In the meantime, Bobby's done a fantastic job. Because we had that issue, we stored our power boat over at Winneka's ramp and drove it over for our weekend use when we needed it. So that was very innovative, Bobby, to reach out and ask that. So good job on that. So we'll keep you up to date on that, but that's good news, and you'll see that construction. It's very positive all around for everybody. So.
Lisa, will the village reimburse us for the cost to reconstruct the...
We're going to be working out a deal, so they know that they have to. So either that they'll provide all the lumber, maybe we'll rebuild them in the summer, but they do know that they have to help us with that. Yeah.
Quick question for you. Any chance you collected information from those attending that Bobby event? Because I'm thinking, sort of thinking forward, it would be really good to have that particular population involved in any discussions we have about a dog park in the future.
It's challenging to do that on the day because they've got their dogs and that's what they want to do.
Yeah.
It was very, very similar to the crowd we had last year. I recognized a lot of the same dogs, a lot of the same families. And in fact, a lot of the same families are at the Mud Run as well. So we can look at some option of doing that. I don't know if there is.
We have another doggy dip next week, so maybe we could do a raffle.
Just have
something. Well, maybe we can collect email addresses.
If we did something like that, this population is on our database because they know about it, and they'll come out through the woodworks if we ever mention anything about that.
Reaching out to
they're in our database.
We market it pretty strongly. People know about it.
Yeah, and you know who these people are.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, now we're on to parks and maintenance.
We just wrapped up our facility shutdown here at the end of August. Lots happened between Watts and Take It. New floors, countertops. It was a very busy 2 weeks for us. We're getting ready to wrap up the installation of the new automated building system here at the Take It Center. So getting ready to launch that new computer program and doing a little bit of training on that. But other than that, as everybody echoed, we had a great time with the Mud Run. I mean, it's very rare that you tell your park staff, tear up the park, you know? So they took a lot of pride in building the obstacles, laying out the course, and it definitely came together to be a really exciting event. And, they were proud to be part of that. So Any particular questions?
Just really quick before we move on to questions, we are starting the construction here for the parking lot. So staff has been informed where they have to park. We will expect them to have patience and with the whole process, because we may be moving staff on a daily basis if we have to. So we might be sending out email alerts going, okay, this morning we need you to park down by Lakefront Park. We're going to take the bus and pick you up. And everybody knows that. We've collected those phone numbers. We put most of GJK staff at the old Green Bay parking train lots because, you know, we don't have the access to them like we do to our staff to move them around. So we want them to make sure they had a permanent space. Only staff that are allowed to park in the front lot here are really early children circle and really late staff, so the ones that come in that open at 6:30 or close at 6 p.m. But most of the staff will be parking on the skate park, because we'll do the back in the walking track first, but there will be a lot of moving around. The fitness center construction is also underway. Been very minimal impact on, I think, on our operations. They're doing it slowly, but they know their deadline, so that's going along very well too. So we're
don't see a lot of progress.
Well, they're doing the bathroom, so you won't see it in the fitness area room.
Not hanging on the bathroom.
Right, so you're not hanging up. That's why. But they're doing a lot of that work in the bathroom. So I was visited yesterday. It's going really well. So they'll get it done by their deadline. But we're talking internally is that we're not going to open the fitness center until the parking lot's done. So we may not do an opening in the fitness center until, say, December 1st. And maybe we'll do a deal like sign up now and get December free type promotion. But we do not want to open it up if there's any kind of parking issues, you know, that would just be shooting ourselves in the foot. So we're kind of leaning towards more of a December opening just because of the parking lot. So the fitness area might be done. And that'll give staff time to train on the equipment and stuff too, so which is nice. So, you know, we'll be finished by then.
Question.
Okay, question.
Chris, some of the elements, climbing and crawling elements for the mud run were very popular. Can you use them in future years?
Actually the elements were mostly built in January and February. So the wood elements themselves will be stored over the winter. Things like the hay bales, we store to use again at the Mary Bright event in November. But other than that, I mean, you know, we borrowed several of the elements from another park district, so we didn't have to build those, but they're all stored in every nook and cranny in the Parks Department already. So,
so yes, we will use them again.
Okay. I'm thinking of I call it the Tarzan swing was especially busy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other for Joshua's question?
Yeah, just can you update us on the progress at Astor?
Oh,
back over there from West.
So I think the email I sent out, it should be done within probably now 2 weeks. So we're just waiting for the sod to go in, and we'll let that
right
sit.
Right now, the split rail fence is being installed this week, so we should have fencing this week and trees either late this week or early next week, and then the sod will go down and be ready to go.
And we have to wait for a safety inspection. We'll probably hold them off on the sod.
Any idea when the grand opening is?
So what we were thinking is something a little bit different, because this is a little pocket park, and you know, so we were thinking instead of doing like a grand opening party, to kind of do something on the Halloween and make it a trick-or-treat spot. What do you think? So we'll have a table and hand out candy and balloons or whatever. So, because, you know, it's a smaller park and we don't want to have big, you know, speeches and everything. Do you like that idea?
Like that's
kind of
it.
Chris came up with that.
Is it? They need to say, like, do up their houses and they have a lot of decorations.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
So that's what we're kind of thinking, is put a table there and just do that. Did we not move enough?
No one's here.
Because the sandbox is open. And so I went by there on Monday, so they took the fence, and it's only around the equipment now while they work on everything, so the sandbox is open. There's already 5 toys in there, 3 with broken wheels.
Those are
before the
fence.
Oh, yeah, great.
So somebody was climbing over the fence and putting them in there, because the fence is still up. Because I was like, I wonder who did that, because I know who did that.
Yes,
they
they've taken their kids over that. So the sandbox is pretty darn cool. That's a, so.
I have a question, because there was a lot of different designs, but that same one, I forgot to see if it was the last one. Because there was going to be like a tunnel or something, and then there were mushrooms outside. Are those mushrooms coming?
No, there was no tunnel. Remember, at the very end, we took those out, and I think we told the board, because it they weren't. There was dog hoops or something like that.
They were dog toys.
We weren't allowed to put those in. So
when we put those elements in, they would have had to have ball surfaces, and it just made the price unreasonable. So
yeah, so we took those out.
Wishbone.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Marketing?
Marketing?
I've been busy. we've been seeing a lot of good social media feedback about the mud run this last week, so that's been really exciting to see it. People sharing it on different avenues. It seemed to be everyone there was taking pictures, so that was great. Our intern finished for the summer. He was great. We did a number of videos in July that he was in charge of doing to promote National Recreation Month. Yeah, now we're just moving into fall.
She's been busy. Yeah.
Yeah, and the West Park opening, we're waiting on the drone footage. We should see that this week.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
Isn't that neat?
Great.
All right.
Oh, and thank you to your daughters for being the cover models. Mm-hmm. Ava and Sophia.
Yeah, that was like the thrill of the week. Should I want a magazine? I went back to the building, the old one just came out, and Sophia was like, why isn't the new one out? It'll be there.
That's very cute. Yeah.
Great, great.
I'm always looking for child models, so if anyone else has kids, they want it.
And then safety committee report, that's
just
moving on.
It's just, we had really actually a very good summer, so
good.
Except for two accidents this week with our vehicles, where cars backed into our vehicles, nothing, our parked vehicles. Other than that, everything's going good. So.
Was that in the last year?
No, they were not. One was on Vernon, and one was like in the park, right? Yeah. I know.
Wow.
That's frustrating.
You see the number of lights on those pickup trucks that run into them.
Yeah, we don't understand. So people don't. All right, Dean?
Hey, you ready for your report?
Sure, okay. I have a couple things that aren't on my report, and then I'll go to that. We were approached by the Historical Society regarding, as you recall, Park 7N. They are approaching us to do, as you know, they came to us before. Were you two on the board by then? Okay, so the Historical Society approached us about 2 years ago about doing like a Jen Jensen park in 7N. So kind of changing the, making it is the one kitty corner from Maple and by the running trail.
Right.
You see that big sign? Yes, yes. So they went to, they had a designed a plan to restore that park to a Jen Jensen type park. There was a there's a circle in there that was probably a Jen Jensen's, what do they call it?
A council ring.
Council ring. And then, this was during the whole Frank Lloyd Wright celebration, they came up with the idea of doing a waiting station. So they're using, on the electric line was where the running trail was, and they wanted to restore, replicate the waiting station that used to be there. That, so they had the plans, and they approached the Park District and the board at the time. And we said, really, the only interest we probably would have if there was a washroom in there, because that would be a recreational amenity that would help the people running down the trails, our camp drop-off is there and everything, but it would have to be raised. You know, we don't have the funds for that to be raised. So they have been trying to raise money, for this replica. So they approached us, they sent me a contract about a month ago, an agreement. They also don't want to donate the money to us. They want to build the building on our property and then donate the facility to us. The board passed a policy that would allow that to happen. So now they have come to agreement. So the question, President Underduck assigned Lisa and Steve to work on that committee on that agreement. So we've met once, hashing out some details, but the last time we went, they indicated that they no longer want to do both projects right now. They want to do only the waiting station because they have money for the waiting station, but not for the park.
So I guess this question we need to ask you is if that's okay if we just do the waiting station portion of it and not the park portion of this donation.
And there are certain advantages to the park district in not rushing into doing the park 7M. The park 7M, the way that they had initially explained it to us, following what was a Jens Jensen design for that park done a long time ago, would be challenging for our park staff to maintain the way they envisioned it. It was a bit more ornate or involved than we would typically do a passive park. So I don't think we're real upset thinking from Chris's responsibility point of view. Not, I don't know Chris's point of view, but knowing what his responsibilities are. But this is a groundbreaking endeavor from our perspective. You know, we had a situation that they thought was very similar in their mind from what they said to me. Having Mr. Berlin make a donation to the park district and allowing us to coordinate and administer the development, he essentially donated the money to the park district. We oversaw the design and implementation of the baseball field and the amenities there. Here, they want to do that. Well, that's a whole different set of circumstances that Dudley asked Lisa and I to be very cautious as we enter into this. And I thought that we have been consistent and cautious going through that process and being very respectful to the good energy that the Historical Society is bringing. It's very fortunate that we had a Frank Lloyd Wright designed waiting station at this historic train that most people aren't aware of. That we had two side-by-side commuter lines in Glenville as to the rest of the North Shore. So they have to get their ducks in a row with the money.
Do they have the money?
Well, the contract stipulates that we're not entering unless they have the money and are willing to sign a surety bond and other assurances at their expense so that the park district can't be left on the hook to finish this. That's not our interest.
Yeah, the agreement, we are very specific in this agreement that we put a lot of safety measures in place to protect the park district. And not that we don't trust our historical society, we do, but we just know that if we do this, this sets a precedence going forward. So we want to make sure that we have everything in place to make sure this is done right. So when they hand it over to us, we don't want anything to burden the taxpayers to fix anything or finish anything.
There's
or do whatever.
There's information that we're not aware of that we might not be made aware of. They seem to want to maintain some distance from their key donor or donors and the park district in the meetings we're getting. And so we have not had any assurances from the actual principal donors of their intent. So we are also then acting in a very conservative manner and being very consistent in our answers to them. But we have to be protective that if this is started, that it can be maintained by the park district staff to our standards properly and not having built with materials typically we would use in our house but more municipal things that might be a new stretch for some of their other endeavors.
So they won't give you the names or they won't put you in our room together?
Neither, right. Their donation goes directly to the Historical Society, yes. So we don't know who the donor is, and they have not disclosed how much they have raised either.
Well, that and the money actually isn't in hand.
We don't know if it is or not, so.
With all that being said, we do have a wonderful comfort level with the contract that has come back to us from our attorneys based on our consultations with them. And should they sign that, and should we go ahead and break ground, I do have, from what we heard from our attorneys, a comfort level that the park district is entering into this with our eyes open and good faith.
Yeah, there's a surety bond, so we know that if they don't finish
the question that you're asking of us today
is it okay if we separate that the park from the waiting station?
Can I ask, is the bathroom in the waiting station?
Yes.
Yes. It's just a small.
Just a one-person bathroom. They also have in the building. There's supposedly a small community room, and we have expressed that we really are not going to program that room. So that we have this building, and that originally was just supposed to be storage or whatever. So we do not plan to program that room at this time. So because there's different.
Yeah.
What? It's a very small building. Yeah, very small building. And before anything happens, we are very in the contract and to them, we said that the board had to see the plan, the detailed finished plans, and have a community meeting. So there's public input, just like any other design, before the contract or the building would be accepted. So this is just the first step of going on, but they just wanted to know.
We don't know if Park 7M will ever come back to us from them either.
Yeah.
They're not making any guarantees on that.
Right. So it may just be the waiting station with the landscaping around it, very simple landscaping, and never finish they may never finish that portion of it. So we have to be okay with that because it's different than they originally came.
So it seems like there's really two questions. One is, are we conceptually okay with splitting Park 7
yes.
into two pieces?
Not two pieces. Actually, the location of the waiting station was actually donated to us from the village. It actually sits on village property that they gave to us because to make this project happen. And it's really, we're never using that piece of property anyways. So really, it doesn't really touch parks. Doesn't they're not going to offer
it. Piece of land we own that doesn't
yeah.
have a name.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. But we only own it if the waiting station.
But we only own that piece of sliver of property if the waiting station happens. If it never happens, it diverts back to the village, and we don't take care of it.
Yeah.
Per our contract, yes. So what we're asking is, it okay if we just put the waiting station on that piece of property and leave Park 7N as it is? Yes, other question would have to be once I sent them our changes that I made and our attorneys made, so that we're still negotiating to see if they want to do those, you know, things, changes we
made. They weren't going to bother to get back to us whether they approved the changes or not if we weren't going to approve splitting the project.
Splitting the project, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So.
Yes, without a doubt. They don't have to.
Right.
And they said that.
I guess the reason I'm bringing up this second question is I want to ask, like, did the board already decide this before Stephanie and I were on it?
Oh, just decide if they would.
Like, do we have the resources to maintain the room and we want to do that?
Yes, that was already pretty much established when we took the donation for the piece of land and when we decided to pass the policy.
There's been a lot of groundwork on
yes.
the scenes with the village to get
yes.
the property going.
Yes.
This is
yes.
the third year of this conversation.
Yes, and it will be, the bathroom will have to be, we'll probably put a locking mechanism similar to like we have at the Berlin bathroom, but have to be cleaned. But we think that this is in our wheelhouse. This is something, a recreation amenity, that is needed on the trail. I know there's a bathroom at the train station, but a lot of people don't know that, and if you're crossing into that, and it's not always open. This is right on the trail, so people can go in and use it. So I believe it's a good amenity for the park district to do. It's a good, you know.
And we have multiple opportunities down the road before government is ever broken if things don't go according to the way we would need to see them to maintain our
We do, yes. We have.
Am I correct that staff doesn't feel that splitting the 7N development from this Waywood development materially changes the.
No. In fact, we're happy. Like Steve said, Chris and I are very. Actually believe that we're dividing that project because we were concerned. We had already indicated some changes that would have to happen in that park, and they were resistant to do that, that we would have to do extensive ongoing maintenance, weekly maintenance that we wouldn't have on that.
The expertise necessary to maintain formal plantings is very different than the expertise necessary to clean its white.
Exactly. So, yeah.
Understatement of the year.
Yep. So,
Lisa, did you want to address the different policies related issues at this point about maintaining this as it is being built in perpetuity versus a specific period of time, or is that a detail that you don't think?
Well, I think we already established in the policy that was already passed that we won't do it in perpetuity.
Right.
Did we determine the
length
of time?
No, we haven't.
Seems to be moving targets.
I just said we'd have to discuss that. So,
okay.
So that
is okay. Because
well,
that may make a difference to them.
The number 25 years was tossed about at the last meeting with all of them.
Yeah.
I know, but it's not based on anything other than just.
Well, what we don't know will last that long is the basic structure with normal maintenance.
Yeah.
And after 25 years from now, if it requires a major infusion, It's up to us to decide if we would do that.
I believe we do have a policy about that, because it came up during the whole Berlin Field thing.
We do. The board can decide how the length of it, if they would like it. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, we need to cut the meeting.
That's so funny. So we can talk about more when we approve the agreement, or we can decide it. Yes. Yeah, yeah. I guess the biggest stumbling block is they wanted to make it a landmark status, and we said it's a replica. It's not a historical building. So we're not going to do a landmark status, nor would we, because that would tie us into perpetuity. So, okay. Nope, we don't. I just need your direction. Yep.
Consensus.
West Park, obviously, Chris did a phenomenal job managing that project with the school. It's unique. It's a very well-used park now. And, you know, we see the use went up by probably 500%. We used to never see anybody on that playground after school. Now, I was there last night, and it was packed at 7:30. So that's a beautiful park. Great working relationships. Actually, last night none,
really?
But I know that's been an issue, and are the signs posted yet? We're putting three signs up. I don't know if they're in yet. Are they in yet?
I think the two are scheduled.
Can you get those up as soon as possible? That'd be pretty great. Thank you. They're there. I went there one night, and I actually moved bicycles off and told all the parents. I came back 10 minutes later, they were back on there. That's going to be, there's really no.
I told one kid, he completely ignored me.
Oh, that's terrible.
I included seasonal employee surveys in there, so just a note that we do employee surveys. They came back very well, but there's things that we can learn and take from them, and we review those and we go over those with the staff. So we'll continue to do that. There's a couple of intergovernmental cooperation initiatives we're working on. We're doing the village-wide active transportation plan with the village and the school district to make our parks and our schools more walkable. Bikeable, yes. I did bring up, when we were talking about this with the village when we meet monthly, I indicated that we're going to start looking at the old Green Bay that is coming up on our capital purchase. I want you to know we're going to start talking about that from, is it Maple right to south? Maple Avenue to south,
Maple
right?
Hill.
Maple Hill to south,
yeah.
Right? So that we're going to start looking at that path that right now we see that the Green Bay Trail ends and it doesn't start up and people are running through the roads and the sidewalks. If they would be interested in working with us on that, they were very interested. So they're going to bring it back to their committee. That's something
so that's some of that money in park from Maple Hill South, that nice open green space.
Yes, yes.
They're interested in talking about
that. Yes, and looking at that and, yeah, concepts and things like that. So we were very excited about that. There's some grand opportunities and some, synergy that can be worked up with that, and that's along with that plan, so that's exciting. Then we're also working with them on the steering committee for Tudor Court. It's a group that are trying to figure out what to do along Tudor Court, so that's by Writers Theater. I bring it up to you because they haven't presented any ideas. They will do a public meeting, but it will impact the park district because obviously, you know, one side is Friends Park, the other side is our other park. So the one side, and I at the meeting, because I'm serving on this committee, I expressed my concern about the side on Friends Park. What they're looking at is changing how parking is done on that street. Some of the ideas that came up is to put parking on Vernon that goes on the side of the park district, or Friends Park. I expressed some concerns because that would take a lot of the green space away. So obviously the parking spaces would go into that where the sidewalk is. There is space there. I'm just concerned having cars there, whether they're parallel or Angled parking, I did express my concern that obviously we've taken enough space out to make it look like a park when we put up Rider Cedar, that to take away the berm and the green space would alter the look of that park. So I did express that.
Are you posted on that?
I definitely will.
Park buses and I will be happy to go to their board meetings.
Right.
If they're looking at doing anything north of Hoover Park.
I will definitely be updating you on that one for sure. The other at the other end, where the like women, they call it the Women's Library Club. That's not the official name. That's just the name that's been honorary, I guess. That park, there's a street that goes through, so they're looking about dead ending that street and actually connecting Women's Library Club Park, our park, with the other side, which is our park, and making it a bigger park. I said we would definitely welcome that idea. And they would do like a turnaround up further. So that would expand that park. There's talk about what to do there, and I said, well, the park board would be open to doing that as a more passive park for adults with the kids in a passive park somewhere on that side, but that we'd have no funds allocated for the next 5 years for that. So that would be a donor project, which they, that'd be a great donor project. So that's something that we could work on with the village and this group and maybe Rider Cedar to do something. And I said, I made it very clear that the park board would have to pass any plans, not the village board, because we would be maintaining and we want to make sure they don't go a little, you know. But from what I understand, they're just looking for like maybe places to sit, you know, seating, and you know, very, very much a passive park that can be used by new Rice feeders, people coming from the train, people, you know, and possibly use that corridor for festivals or whatever. So I will keep you up to date when it comes, but that is the one area that was concern to me more than anything else by Friends Park. I also put the goal update the last 6 months. If you look over that, you can see that we're moving right along and meeting a lot of our goals for this year. So
anything causing great concern as you're looking back and reviewing where you thought we were going to be?
Goal-wise?
Yeah.
You know, distinguished accreditation is taking a little longer because of the transition between Mike and Bobby. I had to kind of put that on hold for a while. But I still think we'll finish that within the 2-year mark. I was hoping to get it done for in a year, but it'll be the 2-year mark now. But other than that, I think they're all progressing very well. So.
What happened with the children's circle and their bronze circle accreditation?
The bronze? Oh, you know what? That was an initiative passed by Amanda, and right now we are concentrating on other things, don't think that's a priority.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just curious why they're changing it.
Yeah. Strategic plan, we talked about this last committee meeting. We're recommending working with Barbara Heller from Heller Consulting. She worked with us on our master plan. We're looking for a kickoff of that to start in November at our committee meeting, so the first board meeting. So hopefully with that approved today, and we'll go on from there. Any questions on that? I think that, obviously, want to welcome Bobby to his first official meeting. It seems like, you know, he's been here a while because he jumped in with both feet. So he's doing two jobs right now, so he's burning at both ends. So we appreciate all your extra work and help during this transition. Hopefully we'll get his position filled. But we're just waiting. It's a little harder one to fill, and we're waiting for the right candidate to apply for that one. So we're doing something new. It's GPD Annual Community Give Back on October 1st. So it's geared for 6th grade and up. So if anybody would love to volunteer for that, it's we would love to have you. This night ministry, this Glencoe resident approached us with this idea. We thought it was a great idea. And great way for us to give back to the community and to other suburbs. So I think we matched everything else. That's it. We're ready to move on to the action items. Yeah.
Appointment of members to the Beach and Lakefront Advisory Group. And these candidates were vetted.
Yes.
Small committee. And Lisa, I'll let you take it from there.
Okay, so we're soliciting applications for over 2 months, and It was actually Mike, Bobby, and I went over the applications with Commissioner Enderdunk, reviewed them, and we really just looked for all. We had 8 applications. All were very well qualified. We were just looking, when we looked through the applications, for differences on our committee members and came up with these 4 that we are recommending for appointment. That does not mean that other people that apply or want to come, the meetings are open to the public. It's just that if we ever have a vote, I guess, and the vote's not binding, but you know, if we had 10 people on the committee and they vote something, that those 10 votes would go on to recommendation to the board. So these are the ones we are asking for to appoint.
Yes, we also reviewed them with Josh too.
Yes, we did. Okay.
Okay. So let's see, do we do action on that now, or is that information, or?
You don't put this one. These ones are just appointed by you, so we don't have to take action. So we'll just.
So appoint.
Yep. So we'll notify. We will notify them.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep. Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Good question.
All right.
You give me a water. All right.
Okay. We're ready for the action items?
Yep.
Okay. I will entertain a motion to approve the FY 2018-19 Master Plan Capital Projects as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Have you reviewed this Master Plan Capital Project?
I have.
I'm sure you have. And looking at our bigger picture, does anything here give you any new cause for concern? Our last conversation, you had said you were comfortable with these expenditures in our given environment and what you face to be for the next few years.
I think as we had spoke in prior years, we really just did not do some of the infrastructure in the rest of the community to build this building, and I think there's going to be a couple of years where we're probably going to have to do more than what we typically would, but I think we're still in very much of a catch-up phase. And if you look at the estimated beginning balance coming into the next year, which is that first column, you know, you realize we didn't do Lakefront Park, we saved on the Astor bid, we saved on the West project. You know, there's additional monies coming in that really aren't even reflected in here. Mm-hmm. So I'm comfortable. I think there's a lot out in that right-hand column, as we can all acknowledge and look to see. A lot of those are to be determined, that when it comes to looking at capital, you do the best you can to look short term and knowing that there's future things out there. But I'm comfortable in our finances and our financial structure right now. But yes, I am comfortable.
Okay, I just need to be getting more and more conservative with each passing
year. I'm conservative, Steve.
I'm conservative too.
As I look, you know, we got all our tax revenues in, you know, August 1, so the month of August. And you're looking at some pretty good levels for our cash position right now, that as we get a little too much higher, I might be concerned about, you know, tax protests coming down, that people see that they don't necessarily see the plan, they just see the money's there. And so it's really important. These plans are so important in, you're showing the community that you're planning, you know, you're planning to use that money. You're not just accumulating it. You have a plan in place to use it, and that's why master plans, ADA plans, those are all important to help show the community that, yes, there's a plan in place to use it. So.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Commissioners, any other questions? I think, Lisa, you had something you wanted to add, didn't you?
Sure. I know that Commissioner Brooks and I talked last week, the week before, and I indicated that I was a little concerned for when the committee indicated that to bring Woodlawn, right, Park down to 300,000. And I expressed my concern because I thought that there's always a learning curve of how much things cost in our park, and I'm a little worried that not everybody knows how much elements cost. And for example, I believe Astor Park was 200,000. And when you look at the footprint of Woodlawn Park, I think if we put a playground of that size, say Astor, into Woodlawn Park, it would be very underwhelming to the community. it would be actually replacing it then with less than is already there. So that gave me a little concern that we would go into this whole planning process and the board would see a design and say, ugh, that's it, and don't understand that things like, you know, Chris was telling me, things like a zip line, while you think, oh, that's only $10,000, a zip line is like $75,000 once you put in the play surface and the drainage and everything like that. So Chris and I were really concerned that based on the kind of playgrounds that we've been seeing before and asked for and the kind of impact we have in this, that Woodlawn Park is, you know, a destination park, what we call it. Like you go to West and then you go to Woodlawn and then you go to Shelton and then you go to Friends. That this is a big area, big impact park. It's one of the first, it's really the only park that you see when you come into Glencoe that's right off of Old Group Bay that could be a statement park. So we're a little worried about that, but we heard you that you're a little concerned. That are we spending money just to spend it? You don't know me. I'm actually very conservative, but I also feel that we should do things right if we're going to do it. And so Lisa and I talked about it and said, you know, is there a way to, you know, put some money aside so that you could add money to that? Then Chris and I were talking is that you can't go to Altman New and say, hey, design me a $300,000 park and then add $200,000 to it. That's not how it works. But you can go to them and say, can you design me a $500,000 park? And it would cost us about $5,000 to $8,000 to do that. With elements that we can take out. So we could have $500,000 park, and then we could have this element cost this much and this element cost that much. So if you saw the park and you said, I'm not comfortable with $500,000, but how about $400,000? And you could say, okay, you would take this element out. It's much easier than designing a $300,000 park and then saying, let's add things into it, because then all of a sudden now you're paying about $10,000 for redesign. So that's where our thought process is. So in this design, when you see it, if you say, I think that's too much, I'll take it out. Chris and I, and actually we were talking to Bobby, he has small children, we feel, you think this park is not used a lot, we think it's kind of like West. It wasn't used a lot until we put a destination park in there, and now it's very heavily used. We think the same thing's going to happen there. We have apartment complexes around there. But what we will direct the architects to do is that we are very aware that South School is not very far. South School is a K-2 playground. So what we're going to tell the architects is that we don't want a K-2 playground. We have that a couple blocks away. This playground should be geared to like 3rd through 8th, and with maybe a toddler park, because we're not addressing that need over there. So it should be something different, exciting for that age group, because we already have South School, which will probably be done in the next couple of years also. That's kind of where our thought was going for that, Woodlawn. We're recommending bundling those three playgrounds together, because there's definitely economy of scale as far as design fees if we do that, and taking Lincoln and Crescent off that and keeping that as standalone park, because when we talk about the Green Bay, trailer, the old Green Bay linear parks, we're going to have those community meetings and talk about what's going to go in there, and then that will dictate what kind of playground we want to go in there. You have to recall that the playground at Lincoln and Crescent, and I'm going to have Chris speak a little bit more about this, is that we really can't expand the footprint on that playground without spending a lot of money to do so. And you want to explain why that is?
So the current playground, which is configured for 5 to 12-year-olds, it's on the top of the hill. So we have a smaller footprint there, and really the only option to, say, expand that footprint would be to either move it closer to the road or to start to build up the grade as we catch the end of the ravine there. So the side of that park starts to dip down. So my concern was that as we started to explore, and there's opportunity there to get bigger without getting huge, but as we started to explore different directions for that playground, we were going to be finding that we were going to be spending money on retaining walls, which isn't exciting. Those are not play elements. Those are not the kinds of things that people feel good about spending money on. So that's kind of my thought process as far as designing a footprint on that park. I mean, like we saw with Astor, new playground equipment requires a much larger safety footprint than old playground equipment. So even if we put back exactly what was there right now, we would find that the playground would probably be 20% larger.
And we did also hear very clearly that we have the younger elements in Friends Park, and that this playground would be geared to older children. I totally agree with that and support that. And we could do some fun things like net climbers and things like that in the footprint. And we may, when we discuss the linear parks, maybe we should look at not only a running path, but maybe there's something, if we throw it all to Manu, and they're probably the creative minds to come up with this, some kind of another path that would be, you know, we have to, because of the neighbors and how this would impact them, but maybe there's some kind of trail that we could put, like, bumps for bikes and stuff, because that's what we're seeing as the need from West and that. So that's what we're kind of thinking the thought was coming from that, for that playground, for this amount. So, and as far as I was asked about the take of parking lots, if there was anything we could do to help traffic without that, I'm going to be honest, no, there's not. The phase we're doing this year will not help the problem that we're going to help with next year's construction. This year is going to help us with parking. Next year is going to help us with flow to get people in and out. If you come between 2 and 4, you see the backup coming onto the road as people are dropping and picking off their children, and there's just no way for them to get around them to park the cars, and the problem is just going to continue with the fitness center. So while you go, oh my God, I have to spend $450,000, that doesn't make me happy either. I would rather spend it on more exciting things. But as we use this building more, and we are, we're filling it up more and more every day. We have to fix some of the infrastructure issues that we've had from the past, and that's one of those things that we have to fix in order to be more efficient.
Because you know, I have a huge issue with the bus lot. It's a nightmare. There's been 2 accidents there since school started. There's been another kid that almost got hit, and I've been yelled at multiple times by the bus driver. There's nowhere to put your car to drop off. I've started going to this lot. And even here, I can't get a spot. I was here 4 times on Friday, and I had a park on the side. I was here at 9, 11:30, 1, and 4:30.
The lot was full?
There was a Northwestern event here or something, but I mean, we definitely have issues. But I don't know how that's going to happen. I know that there's nothing you can do to expand the footprint of the front lot. I don't know how many teachers are parking there. But I don't wish any should be parking there.
Well, right now we have teachers parking up there because we're going to be lacking parking as we have construction. But all GJK teachers are moved off, and all the ELC teachers are moved out. So the only teachers parking up front right now are the early morning children's circle, early morning and late afternoon. That's it for teachers. Otherwise, they're directed to park back here. So that's what they've been told. We do our best to police it, you know, and stuff like that. But there's nothing we can do for the front parking lot. We understand that parents, we as ELC, we have a drop-off system. The kids come in, they drop off. I don't know if GJK has that same system or not. So
we walk in. There is, I think, in the course of drop-off, but the drop-off is kind of a lot of problems because there's really hard to go around those cars. And some people think they can't make it around, so they stop, so then they're stuck. There's nowhere to go. You cannot go around. I mean, I honestly can't even go in that lot anymore because it's too stressful. So I just go to this lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, most of the time I can find a spot somewhere, but I'm in back or somewhere else.
Right.
It's it's like an accident when there's already been 2 car accidents. And I worry about it because there's so many kids and cars in that lot in the morning, and it's crazy.
Right.
And the crowd there, she was yelling at 3 times, I'm like, what do you want me to do? I mean, you can't park. She won't let me have her, she won't let me go back. So I know that this, I don't see the pickup here, from 2 to 4, who's getting picked up back here?
All of our youth enrichments, our regular programs, preschool enrichments, anything that goes on in this building that doesn't go on the ELC is getting picked up back here.
So there's no afternoon pickups in front.
No, enrichment classes. So enrichment, like karate, music, theater, all of those. Preschool still gets picked up in the front.
So even there, you know, like 4:30, I picked up here. There was no spot. I had to park on the side right here.
Right. So that's why we're dealing.
I remember the nightmare of parking in front of my kids on preschool. so I appreciate what you're saying. It seems like we're about to get a whole lot of new parking, and we're about to invest an additional $455,000 flow back. So, I'm not really sure. Actually, I'm not really sure. I probably already decided this.
We did. We did. So I was just saying that that's we do need this. So.
So is that additional?
What I was going to say is I think.
Not the new, not next year's. That we're talking next year's.
We'll have to reevaluate if this is sufficient, but I don't know what alternative is.
Valet parking.
Yeah. That's all I have to say about that. So
that's what you said. I don't quite understand what the 450.
Okay, so if you recall from this, and I have it here, I'll bring it over to you so you guys can see, because you guys can see. Ready?
I can probably call up on the screen if you want me to.
This right here, I think we're fine. So this right here, this is next year. So what happens is cars come in this way, and they come around here. This is the existing bioswale. So they stage here, and they get stuck. And when other cars come in, they can't go around them, because this bioswale is here. So by making this change, we're moving all this back, we're getting rid of this bioswale. So when cars start lining up all the way over here, other cars can get by, which they cannot now.
And
we have ADA issues right here that we have to fix, and that's a big part of it too.
Okay, so when this goes around, you're saying this is going to widen?
Yeah.
And widen into, and I'm sorry.
So one car
can
widen
into
line
where?
Line.
Okay, so we're taking, yes, there will be. We're taking out some of the front plaza.
Okay.
And we're taking out these bioswales. So that will open up another lane. So a car will be able to go here and stage, and a car will be able to go around, which they cannot now.
At the end of the day, is there staff of crossing guards out here using anybody? Is
no,
there a possibility to add that? Because I don't know how this is going to happen. Nobody listens. Everyone, when you go out, it says no right turn or no left turn. Everybody goes up. So it's back up because people do what they want to do.
And then
so you can't get out of the lot.
Right.
Here, are they
going to they don't have to stop. They'll be staged here, and now people can go around them.
And you have confidence that there's enough space here that they won't get.
No, I'm not going to guarantee that.
See, this is where I got stuck.
So, but now we have a lot more area for them to stay. Right now, it is stuck. And there's a lot more parking that we don't get now. So, but the problem is, if you come in here, then you keep on going and get out there. I'm not going to guarantee you. Instead of saying, oh, they might not, you know, so. And then we have to fix the ADA problem right now, because they're not, that can't be the ADA's funds, so we have to fix that. And that's a big issue.
Yeah, this is just a safety issue.
I'm sorry. No.
Hey, Lisa? Part of that really doesn't translate well into that document is, in our second lane, we have a lot of space in between. So part of that also involves restriping the lot. And when we affect that, because the grade is too steep towards the softball field for ADA.
Right.
So as we affect that grade, we're going to probably push the parking lot out a little bit. So what we're going to find is the roads are going to get wider, which doesn't necessarily translate well to that document.
Oh, yeah, it did. Yeah, I told him that. Yeah.
Okay.
She's just worried that they'll still get stuck in there. They won't be, I think they'll be able to go around. We just don't know, but we have to...
It's hard to go around like the Land Rover to a sideways up.
Totally is. Yeah. And I totally agree that I cringe sometimes because people don't listen. They don't use the rules of the road, and they're not being, you know, courteous. And you just have to be patient.
We can't.
And
dignified to go out there and scream at people. Don't,
right. Because they're not going to listen.
I scream with a smile.
Although you could.
And I volunteered. I did this at West School for years.
You can come on over.
But can you stagger the front and back pickup is what I'm saying. Can you
we can't
that at all? Because that would help if you spread these groups out, because you honestly have a situation with the front.
Well, the problem is that who's gonna, so is DJA, we're gonna dictate to them, say you have to start half hour later?
No, that's why I said release that. So that's the problem. I said that. And if you tell them to do the pickups in here, the parents are gonna go crazy. If you say you have to come back here. But
So, I mean, that's what we would do. We'd go to GJK and say, you know, next year you have to move your drop-off for preschool. You have to start it 15 minutes later and end it 15 minutes later. I mean, that's the only thing we could do. So if you're okay with us doing that to them. Not doing it to our preschool. So.
We have a motion.
Yep.
Is this still that same discussion?
Yep. And so, are you ready to go? Mm-hmm. Any more discussion?
Okay.
Right.
Is there more discussion?
Well, I still have a question. I thought we were approving this,
the three-year master plan?
I thought we were approving this, but then you mentioned this thing about Woodlawn.
Well, he just wanted me to give some updates, so I gave updates. And
so we're not changing what we...
No, I'm not recommending any change. Yeah.
So this is the recommendation from the committee?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
With the one change being the contingency.
Yes.
Fund,
yep.
That was set aside. Yeah.
Okay. You ready for a vote?
I am. Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Approve.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner London?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, next item is a motion, entertaining a motion to approve to proceed with the Glencoe Park District 3-year strategic plan as presented.
This is a strategic plan process?
Yes. So the just that we get your...
It's a process. It's not approving a plan. It's a process to meet with a consultant to help us with...
That you're on board to do the extra meetings and...
No, I'm not sure about this. We're totally clueless and I need strategic planning therapy.
You do. We'll get you over that hump. Can you put a motion in a second?
Do you need a motion?
Can someone make a motion?
A motion?
He just read it. So I just need a motion in a second. So moved, something like that?
So moved.
Okay, thank you.
Second.
That's perfect. Second?
Can I get a second? She's waiting. Anyone else?
Yeah. Second.
Okay. roll call. Commissioner Boren?
Yeah.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, ready to move on?
Yep.
Okay. I entertain a motion to change the time of the October 17th regular board meeting to begin immediately following the 7 p.m. Finance Committee of the Whole meeting.
So moved.
Discussion?
Okay.
We're doing a lot of stuff. We need time. Okay. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Boren? Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes.
Okay, next one. I entertain a motion to approve Glencoe Park District to enter into a contract with Time Clock Plus for the purchase of their web-based / cloud Time Clock software system at an initial cost not to exceed $30,000 as presented.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last part. The dollar amount?
$30,000.
So moved.
Discussion? Okay, no discussion. Okay, roll call.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes.
Okay, next one. I entertain a motion to approve the Altamanu Incorporated agreement for the playground design services for Vernon and Jefferson. Old Elm and Woodlawn Playgrounds, not to exceed $104,000 as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion?
Well,
we've had it.
Oops. Yeah, sorry. So basically, they're going to go ahead and design, are we going to be able to have any input before that design process starts?
You would give us input, and then we would bring it back to them. Otherwise, we could have them come in for additional beanie. I think it's $1,800. So if you, any ideas that you have, give to me and we pass them on with our meetings.
That's how it's worked most productively, when we let them visit the sites and then they come back to us with their enthusiasm. then we have a chance, instead of completely trying to direct them in one direction at first, we're hiring them for their creativity to go and see these unbridled by our mortal views.
We give them direction and ideas, and I could see next week when we're at NRPA and we go through there, that you'll say, I really like this idea for this park. Don't get hung up on a certain type of equipment, because some of them, maybe we know that they're not, the best ones. But you'd say, I really like this idea. I'll take a picture of it. Wherever you're with, we'll take a picture of it, and then we'll send it and say, hey, here's some of the ideas they like for these parks. So that's what we would do.
So we can pass on our...
Without a doubt,
Exciting. Okay.
Say, hey, I really saw this. I really think this would be really neat for this, whichever park you think it would be neat for. When you go up to them, we're going to give you my business card. Give my business card so you're not overindulged. They might quote prices to you. That's just for equipment. It has nothing to do with anything else. So any to put it in, or fall zone material, or under drainage. So, just keep that in mind. And I said this costs this much, probably triple it when we have an application. So, but that's what the normal process is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Roll call vote.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Next, I entertain a motion to approve Altima New agreement for the playground design services for Lincoln and Crescent not to exceed $31,000 as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion?
Yes.
Give it, Josh.
I thought I heard here at this meeting this evening that we're not sure what direction we want to take. Isn't the Lincoln and Crescent park in that linear area?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure why we're making this motion if we want to step back until we see how this whole area plays out.
Good question. So we're just getting the formalities out of the way. If we end up not being ready to do the design, it won't cost us a dime. So we'll have those master park meetings first, and should we want to start doing the playground design for this year, then we will have a contract and we'll be all ready to go. But if we don't use it, we don't use it.
Yeah. Without us approving
exactly.
The designs as they go forward, too. So I'm not concerned about that.
Yep.
I just was surprised that we're thinking we're going to have master planning conversations and some of these other conversations. That could well take us into next year.
It could, and then this is just table to that, but if they go fast,
just for them, just roll
right.
The next time.
Yep, and if it goes
in this calendar year, we have to bring this up again in the future years.
Well, we're going to see if we can hold them to the same contract, but if not, then we would have to bring it back to you.
So we don't really have any downside.
No downside. Yep.
Can hold them. Or next year we can hold this year's numbers.
That's what we're hoping. That's what we're hoping.
Yes. Picture.
Exactly.
Is that why they're separate?
That's exactly why they're separate. Yeah.
Because we can do this is for a standalone project, so we would intend the other ones to happen earlier, and if this one took a little bit longer, then it takes a little bit longer.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Roll call.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes. Is there any other business?
No closed session. Yep.
Just wanted to make an observation. They're calling for very hot and humid weather. for those going, well, for me, very hot and humid weather is 85 to 90. And that's the weather the whole time we'll be down there. So, having said that, what are your dress expectations? I've never been to one of these before.
Boy, it's funny. Closed. People wear, at NRP, people wear the gamut. Some are very casual, some are more dressy. But since we have Monday night, I think it's the restaurant is business casual, so you have to wear a suit coat. And we would want you to be in business casual for the picture on Monday night also, because we'll take picture and make it
some presentation. When you're saying business casual, I'm 20 years out of anybody's.
Oh.
What are you thinking?
Like slacks and a business coat.
Is not wearing a white shirt like this?
Like this.
That's very casual, yeah.
Yes, business casual like that. It's okay. Perfect. For both days is fine. So you can take off your jacket.
Now, I got the impression that the Tuesday morning meeting was going to be more formal.
It is a little bit more formal if you want to wear a business attire. Maybe put a tie on with it. Yeah. But no talks is necessary. Jenny, can you go pick out Steve's clothes? Aaron? I don't think you have to wear a suit. If you want to wear something like this again, people are you'll see very casual to business attire. So.
It's more because the picture is being taken.
But if Tuesday it is pictures being taken if we win, so tie might not be nice.
Actually,
everybody's wearing clown attire. I think we're going to rip it off for the exhibit hall because you'll get had next.
Everyone's going to be, did you see that picture from Glenn Gould?
Yeah.
The other question I was like, I'm going to throw out there. I think December 12th is an ideal day for our December board meeting.
What?
December 12th would be an ideal day for our December board meeting. As opposed to December 19th. Well, a bunch of the Blackhawks alumni are going to be flying out at that meeting in Aspen. And some Bronco guys and I would like to spend time in Aspen are going to try to host the summer down. So I didn't want to miss the December 19th board meeting with all the things we have coming up. And I'm not asking for an opinion now, I just wanted to put it out there. And nobody threw anything at
it. It's fine with me. He wants to know if we can move the December meeting to the 12th instead of the 19th.
Actually, that would work better for me.
It works better for me.
That's a horrible week. Oh, good. So, can we just do it?
Josh? Okay, perfect. Okay. Can you put that on the agenda for next month? Thank you. We'll do that.
So, we're going to vote on that next month?
Yep.
As I'm not going to book anything.
Well, I think you're probably fine, so we agreed. So,
I could go ahead.
Yeah. And our holiday party is the 15th, so everybody knows December 15th, so save the date for that.
Okay, are you ready to adjourn?
We are. I have nothing else.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Opposed?
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much.